Chapter 30. The other two Paradise High boys involved with Beau Marino in the rape of Candace Pennington were named Troy Drake and Kevin Feeney. The three of them had raped her and photographed her and threatened to shame her. One of Molly's daughters had run into one of Beau Marino's old football teammates at a party a few months ago and said Beau was living in Maine now. Kevin Feeney was back in Paradise running a small business called KF Audiovisual Services. Troy Drake was now sitting in Jesse's office. Jesse hadn't seen him since he'd played the three punks off against one another, before they'd all gotten off with community service because of good lawyering and because they were minors. Beau had gotten kicked off the Paradise High football team and lost any chance at a college scholarship. After the incident with Candace Pennington, Feeney had gone off to boarding school. Drake, Jesse knew, had dropped out of school. His parents had left Paradise, same as the Penningtons had. But now Drake was back, looking as if he'd aged 30 years since high school, and as if he'd been living under a bridge somewhere, maybe the one to Stiles Island. He had long, stringy hair, and a complexion that was at least one of the shades of gray. Even from across the desk, he smelled of booze. There was a hole in the front of his polo shirt near the shoulder. Lundquist sat in the chair next to him.
"This is bullshit," Drake said.
"We've been checking hardware stores in the area," Lundquist said, "just to feel as if we were keeping busy. Turns out that a couple of the ingredients used to make the bomb were purchased at Duryea's Hardware last week on our friend Troy's credit card."
"What ingredients?" Jesse said.
"BBs," Lundquist said. "And the same kind of nails. Purchased the same day, about a week before the bomb showed up at Detective Simpson's house."
"I told them already," Troy Drake said to Jesse. "And now I'll tell you. I didn't build a fucking bomb. I didn't send a bomb. Do I look to you like I couldn't make a bomb?"
"There's not really a profile for guys who do shit like this," Lundquist said, "other than fuck up." "What are you doing back in Paradise, Troy?" Jesse said. "Heard you left a long time ago."
"Wanted to see if anything in this shithole had changed," he said.
"Some things haven't," Jesse said. He smiled. "I mean, here you and I are, like old times."
"This is a setup," Drake said.
Lundquist said, "Next time you want to build a bomb at home, Sparky, don't buy your supplies at the local hardware store."
"I didn't say I didn't buy the stuff," he said.
"What'd you need the nails for?" Jesse said. "You don't strike me as the home improvement type."
"My room needs some fixing up," he said. "I don't have the money to hire somebody."
"What about the BBs?" Jesse said.
"I got a BB gun," Drake said. "I like to go out and shoot at squirrels, like for sport. There a law against that?"
"Be more of a sport if the squirrels could shoot back," Jesse said. "We didn't see any work being done at the house," Lundquist said.
"You went to my fucking house?" Drake said.
"Probable cause," Lundquist said. He smiled and shrugged. "I know. It's a bitch."
"This is a setup," Drake said.
"You said that already," Jesse said. "But who's setting you up, Troy? The guy who sold you the stuff at Duryea's? It was your card."
"This is bullshit," Drake said again.
Jesse thought that if he slid any farther down into his chair, he was going to end up under the desk.
"You said that already," Jesse said. "What, I'm the only one who bought BBs and nails in the last week?" Drake said.
"Nobody bought both at the same time," Jesse said. "And you're the only one who did with a prior grudge against the Paradise Police Department." He slid the piece of paper in front of him across the desk. "Check it out," he said. It was a letter Troy Drake sent a few months after the rape of Candace Pennington, addressed to Jesse, Molly, and Suit. It featured bad handwriting, worse spelling, indicating at least to Jesse that Troy had lost interest in English classes after he'd mastered personal pronouns. It was all about what they'd done to ruin his life, that he and Kevin Feeney didn't even want to go along. Nothing about her, what had happened to her life. He wrote that they knew he wasn't the real bad guy, but they'd taken him down the same as they'd taken down Beau. Shamed him in front of the whole town.
He couldn't stay in Paradise. He couldn't stay in high school now. Fuck them. Goodbye. Maybe somebody will fuck you all over the way you fucked over me, was the way it ended.
Remember this, Jesse said.
You brought me in after I sent it, in case you forgot, Drake said. I'm not saying what we did was right, but you know what Bo was like. We were afraid not to go along.
Tell me why we should believe you didn't make the bomb, Lundquist said.
Because I didn't goddamn make it.
You own an AR-15, Jesse said quietly.
What's that got to do with anything?
Just curious. Somebody tried to shoot me with one the night of the big storm.
I don't own any kind of gun, Drake said.
He turned to Lundquist.
I thought you searched my house. You find a gun?
We did not, Lundquist said. And not to make too fine a point of things, but it's your parents' old house. One you could think about cleaning up once in a while.
Blow me, Drake said.
Good one, Lundquist said. Jesse asked where Drake had been the night of the marquee lighting.
Drunk.
Drunk where?
Home.
Alone?
I like drinking alone, he said. That way I don't have to waste time talking to people.
Jesse thought, at least we have something in common. Not much, but that. Jesse asked him his whereabouts the night somebody had tried to rape Molly in her backyard.
Home alone, Drake said.
He laughed suddenly. Jesse really did wonder if he was drunk right now.
I love that fucking movie.
None of this is funny, Troy, Jesse said. Hasn't been funny since you did what you did to Candace. Drake didn't appear to have heard. He looked at Jesse instead.
Answer me this, he said. If I wanted to come back and fuck you all up, why'd I wait so long?
You wanted to fuck up your own life first, Jesse said.
That didn't take long, he said. Trust me.
He slid farther down into the chair. Jesse thought it was a matter of time before gravity took over, and he did end up on the floor.
I've hated your guts since I was 17 years old, he said. But not enough to try to kill you or anybody else. The only person I ever think about killing is myself.
He looked at Jesse.
Trust me on that, too.
What are you doing back here, really? Jesse said.
I had nowhere else to go.
You plan to stick around? Jesse said.
Got a better question, Drake said. You gonna charge me?
I am not, Jesse said. Lundquist gave him a look, but didn't say anything.
You don't think I did it?
Making a bomb, even a shitty one, requires work, Jesse said, and some discipline.
What's that supposed to mean? Drake said.
It means you're free to go, Jesse said. But before you go, I want you to do one thing for me.
What?
Drop your pants.
The fuck?
Somebody attacked Deputy Chief Crane, he said. She got out from underneath him when she tried to stab him with a garden tool, upper leg. I want to see yours. Drake looked at Lundquist.
Can he make me do that?
I were you, Lundquist said. I'd humor him. Drake stood. When he did, Jesse saw the stains on the front of his baggy jeans. Tried not to think too hard on where they might have come from. Drake unbuttoned the pants and dropped them over chicken legs. Turned one way, then the other. No visible bruises.
You done messing with me?
Drake said. For now, Jesse said. But Troy, I find out you lied about any of this, that's when I mess with you. Drake turned and walked out of Jesse's office. He left the door open behind him. As he passed Jeff Alonso's desk, Jesse heard Drake say,
"What are you looking at?"
Jesse got up and shut the door. "You don't think it's him?" Lundquist said. "He's a punk," Jesse said. "But I don't think he was lying. And I do think he's got about as much chance of building a bomb as he does getting into med school."
"I still think we should keep an eye on him," Lundquist said.
Jesse smiled again. "Like a friend of mine says," he said, "we'd be fools not to."